Shutdown Fullcast.
Christ almighty, that was bold.
Somebody who has their podcast app sped up or slowed down for that experience.
Who would slow a podcast down?
That's fair.
Yeah, more of us, please.
I like
more
a 7-hour
of
podcast.
First of all, congrats to you, the listener, who is hopefully successfully listening to this on your podcast application of choice, a thing that was not true last week, but hopefully is true this week. If it's not, I would say if it's not true, let us know, but how are you hearing this? Yeah. How is this message even reaching you so you can let us know?
If you have sensed in some way that Ryan is crying out from a place unheard, and you would like to, in return, channel that energy toward
usual.
Us in some way, reach out your hand right now. Touch the screen.
That's right.
Touch your screen, and Dusty Rhodes will feel your hand.
You should probably you should probably wash those. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a huge announcement, which is that
Iglesias, if you're touching your screen, throw your phone away. It's too filthy. It can't be touched by anyone else.
I wouldn't change Matt Brown's diaper on that screen.
You're hearing the voices of. You're hearing Holly Anderson and Ryan Nanny, as well as Michael Serber. This is the Shutdown Fullcast, the internet's only college football podcast.
What's
and
up?
Everything's fine. Everything.
No one else has
totally
ever been on this
fine.
Show. That's our huge announcement. Huge announcement. Huge announcement. You may notice something different about the show this week, and I'm here to tell you your speculation has all been incorrect. That's right. Our back catalog is now hosted in a different cloud.
All right. How long do you think we could go without Spencer appearing on this show before?
Who would
say something first, Spencer or the audience?
You're explaining the joke.
I'm asking a different question.
Ryan is theorizing about someone named Spencer. That person had been real.
Do you think he would realize he wasn't on the show? Do you think he would realize that he hadn't been on the show after? How long would it take?
Wait,
I don't know, because
like,
I just spent 5 or 6 hours reading replies from people who can't count to 5.
So,
like, if we kicked him off the show, how long would it take him for him to notice? Is that what you're saying?
If we kicked him off the show, just did it without him. Right.
Yeah, server just, never just, sends him the calendar invite.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Holly never says, like, hey, we're recording. You don't forget,
if we didn't,
it's Tuesday,
if we
we're
didn't
recording.
Share an office, I bet we could get away with this.
So what if we were, like, we just started recording, like, 30 minutes later than usual, and then the invite never arrived in his inbox?
Yeah, or if Holly was like, I have to go to
earlier every day.
Or if Holly was like, I have to go to the post office on Tuesdays. And in fact, went to a secret location to tape the full cast.
At the post office, yes.
At the post office, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should do a live show at a post office. The place I most want to do a live show is the Pittsburgh airport. It's huge and empty. They built it when they thought, Pittsburgh's a city of the future, and that never happened. So, like, it's awesome, man. You can just frolic. Like, Server, you could seriously play a show in, like, one wing of the Pittsburgh airport and, like, no one would even know.
Agreed. I'll do it.
Okay.
There we go.
Sold.
Great. Let's get some podcast business out of the way up top. We are talking to you mere days before the Sports Podcast Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina. I have important information about tickets to this event. Right now, they cost $59. You can go to preowneredairboats.com to buy them. You can go to the Rialto website if you want to do that as well. If you wait until the day of the show, the price goes up $10 to $69, which presents you with a dilemma.
That is not so nice.
Do you save money and buy tickets now, or do you do the 2013 internet thing and intentionally buy tickets at the $69 rate? It's your money. I'm not telling you how to spend it, but I want you to have as much information as possible, because obviously you're going to come see us and the OGs and Hand in the Dirt. Like, Felder's already got the intro music picked out for him. We definitely know what we're going to do for our show. Like, the rehearsals we've gone through, the choreo, yeah.
the costumes, the pyro. Yeah,
Holly's work on choreo for this has been fucking outstanding.
Thank you, but just listen, the privilege of restaging Serber and Felder as Bradley and Gaga in their Oscar-winning performance of Shallow.
Yeah,
that is such a good fight scene that we put together.
I didn't know that Hartzell was going to agree to fly like Peter Pan, but he will.
The raw sensuality emanating from those little felt caps. Oh, that derailed everybody, huh? Wow.
No one's derailed. We're not listening intently. Derailment is yet to happen.
It's not where I thought the sentence was going to end.
I thought we were going to hear more about where the felt caps are positioned.
From the little Peter Pan flares.
Yeah. What are they covering?
Yeah. But now it's making me... You don't talk yet.
What the fuck was that?
All right.
Server, what buttons are you pushing? What audio are you...
Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
We'll edit that out.
Just make him feel real bad and tell him where you've actually been.
Never mind. Just upping my Southern Gothic score by a billion, that's all.
Everything's fine. Again, the shutdown podcast, everything's totally fine.
Everything's
totally fine. ACC football, everything's fine.
Can we just shut the Reddit down from now to Saturday? And just put them in timeout till Florida State kicks off.
What did they do?
No, this is prophylactic.
Oh.
Do you mean the Reddit or all of Reddit?
Even yes.
Don't threaten me. How far can you go?
Anyway, hey, stranger.
I think Spencer's mic is a little high.
A little high? A little hot?
Mm. It's okay.
It's not a problem, but.
Whew, how we doing, folks?
I mean, I feel like our intrepid producer should notice that, but we saw how that went last week.
We're selling everybody on Raleigh?
Yeah, we did that already.
Yeah, great.
Raleigh, awesome. Ireland.
Can't wait to see everybody there. I hope you're ready for my solo. It is a challenging one, but I think
Are
I can pull
singing
it off.
Are you or playing?
You'll find out.
Have you ever seen the hippos in Fantasia?
Mm-hmm. You were
okay,
asking...
So he's doing, okay, so Spencer's doing Night on Bald Mountain.
Yes.
Okay. Spencer Hall Dream
he's
Ballet.
He's Mickey, actually.
Somebody plug that into ChatGPT and see what it gives us.
Yeah, I will be doing it on Didgeridoo.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not taking weird instruments from me. Oh, shoot. How many recorders should I bring?
However many you think you should, plus two.
Okay, so nine. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe you have six, so...
You personally have purchased eight, so...
Okay, so... Then you have 14.
Thank you.
I would bring all 14. That seems necessary.
We haven't used the bass recorder in a minute. We should probably bring that.
Do you want to be entombed with any of them? I'm sorry, that's kind of a dark question to leave.
I don't want
to
be entombed, period.
Oh, do you want to be cremated with any of them?
That's plastic.
I mean, you're not going to smell it.
No, that's
fair. I'm not a forever chemical.
Buddy, if any of us is a forever chemical.
Forever chemical.
All right.
You're the only one of us who went to school pre-fluoride, so.
It's true. That and leaded gasoline have kept me young.
Is it time to talk about...
And that's
about,
our show.
Is it time to talk about some bold predictions for the 2024 season? It's having established that our playoff picks are in and correct.
And need no further context.
No. Do you agree? Resoundingly, Instagram's answer was yes.
Hey, hang on. That's, by the way, I owe them some pats on the head. And maybe not an apology, but I'm willing to concede that I didn't think you guys would go along with the joke. I thought that you would be very eager to be the clever lads and skewer the joke. And I got to tell you, when you open that Instagram post, which is populated by many more people than listen to the actual show for some reason, when you open that Instagram post, all you see is a flood of great pick coach. I've never been... I love our audience. I have never been more specifically proud of our audience than I was in this moment. You guys really came through, and I thought you were going to fuck up big time. And you, no, they didn't.
They didn't.
I'm saying they didn't. I thought you were going to ruin it for all of us, and you guys, you didn't. You did the opposite of that. Now you can only make me unproud. Thank you is what I'm trying to say.
Aw, what a sweet thing to say, Holly. That was really nice of you to
Somebody
say.
Somebody get me out of here.
Okay.
Can I say that from a brief review of this, the understanding the assignment thing, this is a great, everybody's already in mid-season form.
Oh, this is a collated list. We had a lot of folks who can't count to five.
Yes.
As in every year, a misunderstanding of the term bold, but I pulled 98 predictions out of the responses we got, which I think is a high in terms of sheer volume we've ever got. I would like to think that the five-word limit contributed there, but this is, by volume, this is by far the longest list of bold predictions we've ever had to pull from.
I revise my opinion. I will state this. Those who did hit, bullseyes.
Yeah.
Bullseyes. The accuracy among the sample is very high.
We've done this before, and you would think eventually that would lead to like some tiresome repeats. No. These are zesty fresh.
That's how new this college football world is. Mm. We're done with the old things. We're putting them away. Mm. Clemsoning, that's a thing of the past. We will not speak of such nonsense.
I think Clemsoning still exists. It just means something different now.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I don't want to know what it is yet. I want to discover on my own time.
Fair enough. So we asked you, the reader, for bold predictions regarding the upcoming college football season, which kicks off now in a matter of, we can just about count hours at this point. And I would like to read off the first one that I saw, which is from Robert. And I think really sets the tone for the table. When we want bold predictions, guys, we don't want Ohio State finally gets one on Michigan. No. We want you to charge into the fray with the spirit of Reader Robert, who says, in five words, head coach fired next week.
would not be unprecedented. I think that happened to Southern Miss maybe like 3 years ago. No.
It is bold, and it is yet within the realm of possibility. This is well struck. Now, who's it going to be?
Well, all right. Well, I think it depends on whether you're taking this in football directions or non-football directions. If it's non-football directions, almost any name is on the table. People make bad choices, and they don't really care about the calendar necessarily when those bad choices happen. But if we're just talking about
it's still drunken boating season in most of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Are we counting Arkansas offensive coordinators in this?
Because why? Who's that? No, this says head coach.
Bring it back. Run it back. Do it again.
This says head coach. It's five words long.
I'm sorry.
That is a former many time head coach.
All right. I'll give you,
it doesn't say current head coach.
I'll give you a name.
Does that mean like Houston Nutt could be fired from CBS next week?
I think he retired from CBS.
What?
I think he's done doing that.
Oh, dang.
I will give you a name, though.
Wait, did RJ get his job? Because I support that.
I don't think that's what happened.
I'm going to say, canonically, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, head coach Richard Johnson.
Here is my name that could get fired next week. I don't wish this to happen.
Lincoln Riley.
Timmy Chang.
Oh, man, no.
Hawaii hosts Delaware State.
No, no.
For, I think, a midnight kick.
They've been through enough, man. Come on.
You know who's going through even more is Delaware State getting to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii, yeah. I believe, is a 38-point favorite.
You don't ever want to be a 3,800-point underdog to Hawaii.
Like, Hawaii has not been, it's been a long time since Hawaii has been this big.
Is it bad that when I saw head coach fired next week, it never occurred to me that it might be for football reasons?
I think that's entirely fair. But if you're looking for just the football reasons, if Timmy Chang and Hawaii lost a bye game to a Delaware State team that should not win this game, there's a reason they are underdogs of such note. That could enter, like, yeah, man.
No, I'm going to argue, no, because I don't think that passes the initial test of for who.
Just for feelings, sometimes. Yeah, I think sometimes a week one firing is just like, I don't have other healthy coping mechanisms.
I think the case for this would be, he's an adult man named Timmy, he should be Tim. Get his ass out of here. I understand he played football here and his name's all over the place, but his name sounds girly. Right.
Dude, you're going to go by Tom Chang or you're getting the hell out.
Can I tell you how freakily self-confident you are as an AD if after week one you're like, I've seen enough.
I've seen enough. Get local hero Timmy Chang out of here.
I don't have to
replace him
eat.
With Todd Graham again.
This I don't is have mean-spirited, to eat another egg. And I do not agree with it.
I don't think this will happen. I don't want this to happen.
Oh, no. Week zero, point of bold predictions is they won't happen, but I feel like that has to be among the least likely.
Can I take... I do have a serious flyer to
it's
take
It's not
on
easy
this.
To get rid of a coach in week zero.
Trent Dilfer.
There we go.
Okay.
Let's cook.
Okay.
Why? Because he probably got into an argument over, like, the soda machine or something. That's it.
An argument with the soda machine.
Yeah. Punching a booster, punching a chancellor, punching the dean of the university, headbutting the dean of the university.
They're hosting Alcorn State on next Thursday.
Oh, that could
so
actually
So he could get fired on Friday, and that would be next week. So that could work.
Okay. And people would actually show up to the game because that's a kick-ass dance team.
What if Mike Norvell loses really bad in the very first game of the season after losing really bad in the last game of last season?
Nope. Just proof that
Florida State lost a football game.
No, they weren't invited to play, so it doesn't.
I wasn't aware that was. Can I ask something about this? Is derailing, and I'm sorry. I know this is unlike me. Can I ask a question that has bothered me for some time now? When did we dispense with the extension of the regular season into MLK weekend and the dispensal of week zero as nomenclature are really throwing me off as a combination? I think my brain could have held one of these in my mind, but both of them together are knocking my biorhythms all out of whack. Is anybody else having this problem with diving straight into week one and week one starting on Saturday?
Like counting week zero as part of week one?
Yeah, this thing where there is no week zero on the calendar and those first Saturday games are now being folded into week one.
Oh, on like ESPN schedule.
Oh,
I don't like
still
it.
Heard it being called week zero.
Oh, good. Okay.
I it bothers me less this year because there's so little of it. Like, I feel like in previous week zeros, it's been like there are 9 games, there are 12 games or whatever. This is like, we are barely in the category of calling this a week, just in terms of like overall number of football games, FBF games.
I find it
disorienting,
and then you have to go to Ireland. So I'm just generally unmoored in time and space.
It feels for me like this combo of like when week zero started, it was like an FCS game. It was like, oh, holy shit, look at this. A game that it fell off the calendar.
And it was on
it
a Wednesday or
nowhere.
Something.
It was, it was on the same Saturday before. It was just random. It was like North Dakota State and whoever. And then they started building games onto it and became a thing for the last few years where it's like, oh, there's like 11 games and like, you know, there's a game that kind of matters. And now it feels like all of that packing stuff into week zero joy is gone. And it's just like, yeah, here's some stuff.
It's kind of like what they've done with like Thursday and Friday nights as well, where it's like, oh, this used to be a thing where it feels like there was some effort to sort of make this an exciting part of the calendar. And now it's like, got to put something on Thursday. All right, Louisville, go crap your pants, get somebody. I don't care who. It doesn't matter.
Like FSU Georgia Tech in like on the other side of the world is like, okay, that's worth gawking at. Everything else is just like what you couldn't find anywhere else to put this.
Right.
Mm. We're just opening this off Broadway. That's it. That's college football opens off Broadway.
This is college football soft opening where the garlic rolls.
Let's go see what the Irish audience. Let's go see what the Irish audience thinks of our rehearsal. The Irish Spencer are like, "Boo!"
It's very interesting.
This sucks.
He's so loud.
I'm so loud.
No, it's still so loud.
That's
turned it down so much.
It's not working.
It's not
it's
your
not
fault.
It's not working.
It was on 100. I put it on 50.
It's the Lord's fault.
It's not working. It's so
just too damn boisterous.
yes, but head coach fired next week is an excellent, bold prediction.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
Who wants to go next?
I will go with one that would really strain reality. This is from Marcus. 11-win Rutgers.
Take it away, Spencer.
I went into the archives. Rutgers has won 11 regular season games. They've won 11 games, including a bowl game once. There's only one season where they won 11 regular season games. It was 1976, where they went 11-0. Do you know where they finished in the AP poll that year?
Tenth.
I'm laughing because I just pulled it up.
17.
I was going to go 17.
17. This is why that year Rutgers played four non-major schools. This is before we called it FCS.
That's a mean thing to say about Penn State.
Effectively four D2 school. D1AA schools. Three Ivy League schools. And four independents. And a lot of these games, they beat Cornell 21-14.
The Piscataway Canapé Tour.
They beat Lehigh by a touchdown. They beat Colgate by 8 to end the season on a Thursday.
I love class warriors Rutgers. line it up, elite nerds.
This is this is like an 1876 schedule that accidentally was played 100 years later.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I know this is around the time when D1 split into what has become FBS and FCS, so maybe there's some weird, I don't know, residual, we already said we'd played Colgate. We can't go back on our word.
We have a 300-year contract. I also like that they were not ranked until the very last week when people were fine, they're 10-0, sure.
But the strength of schedule here has to just be impossibly low for Rutgers to go 11-0. And I understand there's more football games now. So, yeah, they have the 24th worst schedule in the country, independent Rutgers at this point. So if they can, I'm not even going to play the schedule game because the history game is really all I need. If Rutgers can go 11-0, that is probably the story of the college football. Or if they can win 11 games, rather, that's the story of the college football season. It would be the greatest thing Greg Schiano has done. It would be the most impressive thing I think a new member of the Big Ten has done post Penn State joining. It might be. I mean, I know Utah's won some. Utah's done some work, did some work in the Pac-12. Got to get used to saying it that way. Mizzou went to the SEC championship game twice, but it'd be up in that category of oh shit, what an ad the Big Ten pulled off here by bringing in 11-1 Rutgers.
That is a really funny thought. What it would take to make Rutgers feel like a wow, what a quality addition they were competition wise.
Even then,
divisions were holding them back. It turns out,
You know what the stats are going to look like for this team if they win 11 games, right? Game is 21-20.
Yes.
Point differential.
7-5.
Yeah, average point differential. Somehow Rutgers will have a negative point differential and go 11-1 in the regular season.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They'll be like, we had longest road. That's how we won a lot of these games.
They're one
that
loss.
That means they played at UCLA.
Right. Greg talked me out of all my wood again.
I mean, they do play at USC at midnight on a Friday, so.
This is really, I have literally never thought about what it would take for Rutgers to be viewed as they deserve to be in the Big Ten. To get to a point where it's anything other than,
We completed the paperwork and we submitted it correctly.
But Maryland hasn't won 11 games in a season since 2002. It's a hard thing. And they were in the ACC at that point. It's a hard thing to do. If Rutgers could pull it off in 2024, I mean, shit.
You could talk me into a lot of teams winning 9 or 10 games. 11?
Yeah.
11
is hard. 11 is hard. 11
is very difficult.
Because everybody gets your one screw up.
Yeah.
Yes.
To get to 11, no more screw ups.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody gets one my stomach hurt game. Right?
Yeah, and you can't have bad luck. You can't have
but you can't call it that.
I'm going to call it that.
Such an upsetting word.
that's what they call the stomach in New Jersey.
Yeah, my stomach.
You got to say it a little more Italian.
Hey, shake, my stomach hurt.
It sounds like a kind of sandwich. Let me get a my stomach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's just a roast beef soaked in ginger ale.
I will try it.
There's such a. This show is affecting my gut biome.
it makes your stomach hurt.
Just send it to me and Golic Jr. We'll take care of it.
But yeah, an official. that is an official category of game. Remember the my stomach hurt, and we committed 5 turnovers. Yeah.
That's not. Yes. They never used that word.
too late.
Too late. Oh, Greg Schiano saying,
"My stump's low."
I object.
So yes, thank you, Marcus, for sending in 11 win Rutgers. A very bold prediction indeed.
All right, who's next?
So I have one of my own. Every single year, at various points, we have a little bit of a laugh about NC State's history of winning 8 or 9 games. It's the most reliable thing in the sport. Over the last 14 years, they've come within a game of 8 wins all but twice. It's incredible. Like, that's ridiculous. This year, at most sportsbooks, their win totals are between 8.5 and 9.5. Perfect. Beautiful. That's exactly where we want it. I am going to argue that this is the year NC State wins 8.5 games.
Oh, shit.
On the button. I don't mean
like a
more.
Game that gets canceled by
less.
A hurricane halfway, like a game that they're ahead at halftime and there's a hurricane coming in?
We'll find a way. There's no ties in college football anymore. I don't know. There might be. That might be how we get there. It's not going to be. It's not going to be over. It's not going to be under. It's going to be a push at 8.5.
Game that goes to overtime. Night game. Lights go out. Power doesn't come back on. No room on the schedule to replace it. Both teams agree. Like, who does this feel like on the schedule? It's not UNC.
What if it's this? What if it's a CW game that gets delayed, and then because of the delay, it has to air on a different network, thereby NC State
on True TV?
Sure, yeah.
Dude, where the hell does it go from the CW? Because I know
the answer is True TV.
I know the order of succession for ESPN.
Wait, I found it.
ESPN
I got
2.
It.
You got it?
I got it. Here it is.
Okay.
October 19th, 2024, NC State goes to Cal. That game gets fucked up.
Yes.
Can't be completed. NC State has to go home. They're not going. Their only road games left after that are Georgia Tech and North Carolina. They are not going back to Berkeley to finish that game.
They don't have the miles. They don't have the frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. That's where the half win comes. And that half win then, if I may piggyback, Jason, that's what gives Cal the tiebreaker to play in the ACC championship over, I don't know, Florida State.
That's another bold prediction in the list.
Yeah.
Does the CW slide to, like, YouTube, like, a channel? not YouTube TV, but I mean, like, a channel on YouTube.
YouTube.com.
Yeah.
Everybody
else I need you to know, I'm not making up that there are games on True TV this year.
No, I know you're what? Not.
Okay. The Olympics kind of primed us for this, though, so that's like that's at least a gentle shove.
Okay, sure. I don't know where they go then. I think it's the kind of thing where you have to go to Best Buy and hope that they're showing it on the in-store TVs somehow.
It's on my fridge.
Yeah. The gas station pumps.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Mario Lopez is showing.
I'm Maria Menounos, so you're watching NC State. Yeah.
I'm at the AMC early to play NC State Cal trivia.
Nicole Kidman telling me about the magic of the Wolf Pack. What?
All right, Spencer, pick a prediction.
Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and headbutt this one.
Running so loud.
Headlong into it.
I
Brendan,
know what this is and I don't like it.
Brendan, you're an evil fuck. Because in all caps, it just says, Florida head coach Jimbo Fisher. You son of a bitch.
That feels you know this is good because it feels dangerous to even listen to it being read out loud.
All right, let's do pro con. Let's do some pro con.
Where are the cons?
I see half let's of this equation, right?
Let's do pro, baby. Jimbo gets him paid.
Let's see. Pro, you can probably have Jimbo for a song, right? Like, that contract was fully guaranteed.
Not based on his previous pay history, Ryan.
No.
So I think the way to do it is to, if you can convince him that it'll piss off A&M.
Right?
Revenge on A&M is to take
all you
job.
Gotta do is be like, Jimbo, say you're doing this for $100,000 and say that your love for football has been rekindled. Just say that in a press conference and A&M fans will lose their minds. That's all they need. Some things are bigger than money. Oh, you're going to tell that to A&M fans? You kidding me? Impossible.
You could piss off A&M and Florida State at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time.
And money.
They crave the caress of Jimbo. Nobody has ever craved the return of Jimbo Fisher.
have a Christmas tree set up for his arrival for his opening press conference.
Yeah.
His hair is just going to wilt down there in Central Florida. It's a waste of good plugs.
Let's see. Other pros. I think it's useful to sort of like not have outsized expectations going in, you know? Like every Florida hire that comes in, it's like, this is the guy who's going to fix it. This is the dad who's going to stick around. This is the dad who's going to step up. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know that mom's got a trash boyfriend this time, right? Like, we don't have to bond with him. We don't expect this to go well. There's some advantage to that from like an take care of your heart perspective.
Yeah, I just wouldn't watch. It's very simple. Goodbye.
Oh, mom's not serious about Jimbo. No. I don't have to eat dinner with him. It's fine. We don't have to have a catch.
Yeah, I'm going to put it this way. I'll be wearing different clothes and he will be gone. This is a seasonal thing.
Yeah, sure. The cons? I don't know, man.
Bunky Perkins
threatened to make Dan Bilzerian Florida's president and install Houston Nutt as the head coach today. So
Bunky
like,
probably could do that.
Dan Bilzerian would make a better hire than Scott Strickland.
I mean, It's fine. Is it possible? So that's where I have a trouble. I am not quite seeing the road to Florida head coach Jimbo Fisher.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because first Billy Napier would have to get fired.
Billy Napier has to get fired, and then how many people have to say no before you get to Jimbo?
He knows the area.
All right. Honestly, if I had to go, how many people have to say no before you get to Jimbo? 15.
I don't know if you call it tan, people. But rotisserie, okay. Rested and ready.
Okay. What if this is what Ben Sasse was doing with all that money? Is that how you say his name?
He's just dark moneying it. The dark money for Jimbo.
Yeah.
Jimbo, we're going to let you coach remote.
I mean, you'd feel better about all that money going to Jimbo than various right-wing causes. So really, this is a heroic maneuver.
What a terrible choice you presented me with.
Football's good for you. Football wastes the money of rich people. Therefore, it's good.
Okay. If Jimbo Fisher accepted...
I don't know,
accepted,
man. I said this a couple years ago about Elon sending rich people into space, and look what happened.
That's true.
If Jimbo
the ocean
Fisher,
has been our friend in that regard.
If Jimbo Fisher accepted a large contract from Florida, that would mean that he had taken money from Florida State, Texas A&M, and Florida as a head coach.
Yeah.
The amount of blood money or laundered money that has entered Jimbo Fisher's pockets is tremendous.
Sure.
Huge.
Yeah.
Well, think of all the worst people who could have it. So
yeah. I'm just going to blow it on ATVs and hunting.
See, that's just wholesome. Really, he's just doing what must be done.
Not hair plugs. Jimbo keeps it real.
Holly, do you have a palate cleanser, please, God?
Not exactly, but I have a pair of predictions that, okay, I'm very fond of these two because they arrived back to back in our inbox. So I'm just going to read them together. From Burner, MSU redeems from Hitler. From David, another Michigan State Hitler scandal. I did check, and David did send this in after this week's preceding Hitler scandal.
I wonder if, could they do like a Hitler scandal that is also a redemption from the previous Hitler scandal? Like they like do something that is so extreme as a reaction to their first Hitler scandal that people are like, okay, your heart's in the right place, but this is still pretty weird.
Ooh.
So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way to combine those.
So yeah. Like maybe if you had a halftime show where like over the horizon comes giant Macy's Day Parade balloon Hitler.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, this is terrible. But then they like shoot it down or something.
Yeah. Or they have like there's a guy who's Hitler and they stab him for real, you know?
Right.
And they're like, oh, let me get symbolically murdered.
It's sort
Hitler.
Of like, well, why did you do this in the first place? And it's like, because we felt bad about the trivia. It's like, but
Michigan State, it was just a scoreboard. Everyone's just making jokes. You know you don't actually like Hitler. You didn't have to kill somebody.
And then it's going to turn out that they stole the 3D print design for the balloon.
Oh, sure.
The way this is going.
Yep.
I'd forgotten. Because
again, if you missed us last week, Michigan State is actually in trouble again for what we love to keep calling the Hitler incident, which is always something you want appended to your program's wiki page, because the Hitler trivia that they got in trouble for displaying during the halftime show turns out was copyrighted material that they had used without permission. Or as Jason put it so beautifully, they wanted Hitler so bad that they stole him.
Student fees misappropriated for Hitler stunt. Feels like it would maybe check a lot of boxes.
Reminding everyone that
the ad on the ribbon board, yeah.
The banner ad underneath it
that said
says,
what?
We never drop the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who else never dropped the ball?
He only dropped one, as far as I know. Not two.
This was also, I also forgot that this was pregame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, then you had to go watch.
This was on a normal, and the weather, by the way, the weather in the background looks so Michigan State-y. Like, it's about to start raining tacks.
I mean, and it's like, well, maybe, when that happens, you're like, well, maybe Michigan State-Michigan will be a football game that will sort of knock out the Hitler from everybody's public conscience. Nope. Got shut out. All we wanted to talk about was Hitler.
And the photo choice of Hitler is so weird. Like, he looks puckish.
It's the Instagram photo of Hitler.
He looks mischievous. It's the profile pic of Hitler. He looks like a mischievous prankster.
It's his Abby. Yeah, it's like, just a little guy.
Oh, if you could picture Hitler going, ain't I a stinker? Mm-hmm. Like, this is that picture.
If Michigan is in form, the next time they host Michigan State,
yeah,
they will have a trivia contest, and all of them will be so close to potentially being hit. Like, it'll be like, name a famous Austrian painter. They'll be like, the answer is Gustav Klimt. It's Egon Schiele. You know, it'll always be these answers that are so close to Hitler.
Which of these two do you think, if you have to pick one of these? Hitler redemption or second Hitler scandal, which one do you think is more likely?
Based on the volume of available evidence, I kind of have to go with the second one.
More, yeah. Hitler scandal, that's right. That's absolutely right.
I do think it's there's got to be some attempt at Hitler redemption in terms of Michigan has got to attempt to redeem themselves from the Hitler scandal.
Listen, I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of recent history that suggests that's not true.
What, Michigan State-wise?
No, just in the world at large.
Okay. I just feel like there's going to be just like a over-the-top apology of some sort that will just itself unsettle everyone.
That's going to accidentally play like Tomorrow Belongs to Me in the background or something.
Sound of Music halftime show.
Yeah,
cabaret halftime show.
It's just going to lead. It's going to lead to more problems down the road because for some reason Michigan State's largest booster in the future will also somehow unfortunately have the last name Stalin or something. And they're like,
sure.
It's like, I want to name the stadium Stalin's after me. And they're like,
Holly, I heard it. I heard it, Holly.
Do you know how hard a stadium would have to look to be? To deserve the name Stalin Stadium.
Man of Steel.
Can you imagine that architecture?
Brutal. All right. I'll do another one. This one comes from Nate. And I really just don't know what it means, which is why I picked it. Pop-Tart mascot gets revenge.
Ooh, that's chilling a good way to do it. Open-ended.
Who? Yeah. On whom? My understanding, and granted, I'm not part of the Pop-Tart Bowl. I don't know. But it felt like everything that happened to the Pop-Tart mascot was much like the passion play, like something that the Pop-Tart mascot went along with. The Pop-Tart mascot was willing to be toasted. The Pop-Tart mascot was willing to be consumed by Kansas State football players. I'm not entirely sure who the target of the Pop-Tart mascot revenge would be.
I think it would be the executives who assembled the whole thing, and what was really meant to be a private moment between consenting adults was broadcast to the entire world.
Sure.
I think that the Pop-Tart's revenge will be against George Pop-Tart, CEO of the Pop-Tart company.
Yeah, yeah, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If the answer is Jerry Seinfeld specifically, I'm on board with this.
Okay.
I love that he was like, you can't do comedy anymore because of woke, and then he made a Pop-Tart movie. Yeah.
he was right, apparently.
The ultimate third rail of comedy. Breakfast.
The third rail is the first meal. Is it me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I like this one from Jackson. CU is average, angering everyone. I assume CU means Colorado.
Yeah.
Though Clemson being average, that only angers Clemson fans, so I'm guessing that doesn't mean CU. Colorado being average is kind of a fascinating thing to think about, because like at this point, I don't even know. You have to wrap your mind around what that would even mean.
Right, right. What would that constitute?
6-6.
But like then they're at a bowl. And like, oh, yeah, you got him to a bowl game. Mm-hmm. And it's
okay,
like...
Okay, five and seven then.
Or do you place them exactly at the midpoint of their conference?
So like getting them to a bowl, it would be their first since... well, they went to one in 2020. It's their first that, you know, anyone would actually remember since 2016. That'd be an achievement. After talking all that shit, it wouldn't be much of an achievement, but it would be an achievement, right?
What if it's in the manner of play and like they're a workaday team who wins some, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat, they don't beat the teams they're not supposed to beat, and they produce absolutely no flashy highlight plays whatsoever.
So they're
so exactly like Clemson.
Their win totals at most places is 5.5. So they could pull an NC State and go exactly 5.5. I feel like if they don't go to a bowl, failure jokes, LOL, everyone points and laughs, and it's the exact same thing all over again for a whole other offseason, right? Mm-hmm. If they do go to a bowl, then it's like, okay, going from 1-11 to a bowl in 2 years, objectively, decent job.
Not worth
all the hot air, but the hot air was enjoyable. So I don't know if there is an average Colorado. Like I don't know if it's possible.
Does that kind of fit in with our NC State theme of breaking math this year?
Yeah.
Does this kind of unknown integer of a finish for Colorado actually fit in with this set that we're building?
Yeah, there's like an uncertainty principle to it.
I don't think there is anything they could do that would qualify as like boring in the sense of like, oh, there's nothing to yell at each other about here. So,
I mean, yeah, if they were average and they played like that kind of ball where they were like, well, we ran it on first and second, then there was a short pat. Like if they played like really boring, because that, you know, Pat Shurmur, that's what I'm thinking.
Talk about not knowing what something looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, they took the governor off Pat Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur went all Pat Shurmur.
So they have like Shadur is like throwing the ball within 3.1 seconds and
yeah,
like which really that would solve half their problems.
It's all like 3 yard routes.
Yeah, and another 5 yard out to the tight end.
It's second and six.
Yeah, it's second. And
it's always second and six.
Yeah, it's third and five. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what if they do that and they play that kind of ball. That would
and
be the most.
And it's another Colorado field goal.
Yeah. Like, we have in this game, we have a grand total of, say, 41 points. Allot them as you see fit.
So
right?
we have another game like last year when, you know, the whole world is suddenly aware of Colorado State, Colorado. We have that again, but the celebs are like, this is so fucking boring. We're never doing this again. So once we get to that point, we will have achieved this bold prediction.
I guess that's the way you get you. It can only be stylistically average because the record will be interesting no matter what.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we talked our way through this, and now I really want to see boring.
Now it's an extremely bold prediction because, like, to get to stylistically average, both lines have a lot of work to do for Colorado. Oh.
Yeah.
So I guess that's improvement too. I don't know.
But even average, I don't know if that would mean in terms of competence. Like they're giving up like really boring sacks, you know.
Yeah. Sure. Right.
Speaking of boring sacks, Spencer, you got a prediction?
She meant like saxophone wise, probably.
Yep.
Yep.
I do.
You're fine.
Calm down.
Keep going.
I think you're great at the saxophone, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to take Keith. Keith has given me one that is, it's classic. It's classic. We've seen it before. We're going to see it again. Ole Miss implodes, comma, Mrs. Bowl.
All
entirely possible.
Wow.
Oh, this one might require the schedule game.
Let's go ahead and take it to the Ole Miss football schedule because
they're coming in number six,
which again, we're preaching to the choir. Oh my God.
Did you guys know they're opening with Furman?
Yeah.
Does this have a rivalry trophy? Is it just a tweet that says, why can't I say it?
They probably win that Furman game.
Okay.
They probably win that Middle Tennessee game. 2-0. Sure. Positive start.
The CW debut, 6:30 p.m. at Wake Forest.
I'll grant them 4-0.
Okay, implosion.
Deke's gonna get that ass.
Actually, you know what? Wait. Look at the balance of the schedule. You can actually see this happening here because the word that our predictor Keith used was imploded. This schedule does allow for a hot start, and then a series of interestingly trajectoried plummets.
You can get to 5-0, and then you have almost entirely road games and or ranked. After that point, it's nothing but road, ranked,
and
rivalry.
It's road and ranked or ranked and road, yeah.
The
Egg Bowl.
The real problem you have is that you need at least... You need them to lose to either Kentucky or South Carolina.
Right. I don't think that's a problem at all.
Okay.
First of all, not necessarily need, because if you wanted, you could find several losses in the latter half.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but if they get through the South Carolina game undefeated, they won't miss a bowl game. They'll be successful.
Oh, right. Sorry, miss a bowl.
That's the issue.
But again, we're preaching to the choir because Ole Miss fans are nodding and going, "Oh yeah, like we could." It's like you could lose that game. They're like, "Mm-hmm, absolutely." Like
they won't. They don't love the notion of getting beat, but they will cheerfully acquiesce to the notion of dick tripping.
I mean, what is the win total for Ole Miss this year? I'm guessing is probably in the 10-game range.
Yeah, something like that.
9.5.
Yeah. Okay. Ah. So to get to be 4 games worse than that with a schedule that like doesn't have a
once you get past Kentucky, it's either road game or ranked game on the road. Like it's.
Or and egg then egg bowl.
Or egg bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Like just to knock this off real quick, it is at South Carolina, at LSU, bye week, Oklahoma, at Arkansas, Georgia, at Florida, egg bowl.
Yeah.
I don't... yikes.
Yeah.
They have another bye between Georgia and Florida, which would make the implosion even funnier. Like if you had time to fix it and you just kind of bore down too hard and things got worse.
All you need are need one or two injuries at certain spots, and you need team chemistry to absolutely go in the toilet, poppin' fresh nature of Lane Kiffin's rosters. Who knows how they're actually going to come out onto the field.
Like I'm not saying he has locker room issues. I'm saying that there is right now like no real way of knowing what that locker room is coalescing into because a lot of them are brand new.
I don't think this is as spicy as 11-win Rutgers, because what could be, really.
Yeah, but what is, friend?
But an Ole Miss team that started number 6. Here's the other thing. If Ole Miss starts the season preseason ranked number 6 and ends up missing a bowl and obviously not getting ranked, everybody's going to talk about that USC team that Lane Kiffin was the head coach of that started the year number 1 and finished the year unranked. It will become... Like they will become trapped in narrative hell, and that's where this could get really unpleasant.
Ryan,
that sure did happen.
I may have consulted the history books under the Lane Kiffin chapter when I saw this and went, history doesn't rhyme, but it echoes.
Hey Spencer, I am I'm looking in the Prize Picks app, which I believe you are as well at this time.
I'm looking right now.
And as you know, it's week 0 in college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking to decide whether some college football guys will have number big or little.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at some of the numbers that are next to the names of college football guys. And
sure.
I'm just gonna tell you a few of my favorite plays, a term you can use. this week in the Prize Picks app. Haynes King, quarterback of Georgia Tech. Now, when I tell you about a number like 196.5 passing yards, I see that number and I'm like, more number. That's what we're going to get. Okay. However, I want to know what you have to say about that number. Haynes King, quarterback, Georgia Tech, 196.5. More?
You know what? When I think the Republic of Ireland, I definitely think weather conducive to passing conditions and for high flying offense. No, I say less.
Okay. I guess we'll see during week zero. Also, additionally, in Prize Picks, I see number next to Malik Benson, Florida State wide receiver, 54.5 receiving yards. Florida State, they're going much farther than that to get to Ireland. I'm going more. I think it would be very easy for him to have 55, 57, 63 receiving yards.
Oh, it's crazy.
He could get all that in one play Saturday morning. I could be correct by 11:15 a.m. Eastern.
It's nice when you knock out errands early in the day.
It is good. You know, when I look at the Prize Picks app and I see that, you know what I think, Jason? I remember what Yellow Jackets do. They swarm to the ball. I'm going to say less. Less! Call me Dr. Less.
Unbelievable. Okay. I see how this is. And finally, our final Prize Picks in the Prize Picks app available this week. Florida State kicker Ryan Fitzgerald is also in here. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's got a number by his name as well. 7.5 kicking points. I wait to see what that means. I assume that means
points. It means all his rushing touchdowns don't count towards this number.
It's not yards that much. I know.
Yeah.
Whatever it means, it's going to be more because, I mean, kicking points, it's a soccer country, right? That's what they like over there. Rugby, right? Is there kicking in rugby? I don't know.
There is kicking in rugby, yeah.
Okay, great. So there'll be plenty of that. And 7.5 kicking points. Every football game has at least 7.5 kicking points. More.
Well, I'm going to kick this point right here. Less!
Oh,
less!
My God. You fucking hater.
His name is Ryan Fitzgerald. He's going to Ireland, and you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to upstage or grandstand or stand taller and be a me first kind of guy. No, he's going to stay humble. He's going to kick just as much as he needs to. Less.
All right, folks. That was our Prize Picks segment in which we read the numbers next to names.
And Spencer says less.
Less!
Less this less.
This episode of the Shutdown Fullcast is brought to you by Prize Picks, America's number what? Daily fantasy sports app, Holly?
I believe that number is one.
The number is one. And Prize Picks, it's all about numbers. It's you against the numbers. Numbers, they wanna take away the things that make you happy. That's why we don't use them here on the Shutdown Fullcast. Just letters. This is a letters-only podcast. All you do... You pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. You get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can do more or less, right?
Heck, anyone can.
That's right.
This is a game for adults, much like this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Adults who can sign up today and get $50 instantly. When they play $5, you don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus.
Yeah, and trust me, this is something so simple, even I can do it. And by that, I mean a fool, an absolute fool. You just select number less or number more, as previewed in previous segment.
Can I attempt some math here? Because I want to try some math. Okay. I know we said we weren't going to do math. I would like to try some math. Yeah. You're telling me, okay, I am to understand that I can now win up to 100 times my money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks, which means I can turn $10 into $1,000.
Yeah.
That's like, math, but it feels correct.
It's alchemy and wizardry.
This is math that is also an emotional truth. It's amazing.
You can do more or less on 2024 season stats. Like if you're like, I have thoughts about more or less the 2024 Jacksonville Jaguars. Will there be more Jaguars or less Jaguars? Only you can decide.
Fewer Jaguars.
On Prize Picks.
Oh, shit.
Which is available.
Less Jaguars implies they are a liquid and you should watch your intake of them, which is accurate. Do not. Don't get too high on that stuff.
Less Jaguars is actually the name of a personal injury attorney in the United Kingdom.
He'll get you your money.
Hello, I'm Less Jaguars. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Spencer, Georgia.
Georgia.
Folks, you could download the Prize Picks app today and use code FULLCAST for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code FULLCAST on Prize Picks for a deposit matched up to $100. Prize Picks. Run your game.
More.
Less.
More. Less.
More.
More.
Less.
Less Jaguars.
I'd like to go with a topical one, and I've got two Auburn predictions here that I'd like to pair, and one of them I think speaks for itself. It's from longtime friend of the program Verb, and I don't actually think this is super bold. I just love the way it's phrased. Freeze excels until the incident. I don't really think anything else needs to be said here. What really interested me was this prediction from Heart of Auburn, which I assume is an Auburn fan. And the prediction is as follows. Auburn avenges 2013. Now, Heart of Auburn did not choose to use the remaining two words in the prediction allotment to specify what about 2013 Auburn would be seeking to avenge in the 2024 college football season. I took the liberty of looking up some of the bigger news events of 2013 to see what they might be seeking revenge for. The Boston Marathon bombing, of course, was first. I don't know in which direction they might want to avenge that. There was the government shutdown. I think we know how Auburn might feel about that, so we can probably disqualify that. The death of Nelson Mandela, which I'm pretty sure was from natural causes. But
I'll get you natural causes!
Detroit files for bankruptcy. I don't know. Alabama is tornado country. A major tornado hit Oklahoma that year. Perhaps Auburn is striking back in solidarity against the concept of tornadoes. The one that we're probably going to have to cut out that I really think they're gonna, no, never mind, they won't want to avenge being acquitted.
Jesus.
We'll see. Whitey Bulger getting life in prison.
Oh, good for him.
I mean, do we feel like they're gonna want to push back on that?
A lot of Boston-ness for some reason.
Yeah.
Whitey did nothing wrong.
Okay, nope.
I need words,
I need
to just put back
what
into my mouth.
What I need you to not do on a clippable podcast is say those words in that order.
Yep,
all right?
Yeah, especially when we're talking about Auburn here.
Jesus.
The one that I landed on because near and dear to Auburn's heart in a number of ways, the Snowden leaks.
No, sure. Yep. Sure.
So best of luck to Auburn on these various quests.
I believe in them.
Yep.
Except to the extent that that's the wrong choice, which it frequently is. Here
Spencer,
is
did
a...
you say did nothing wrong?
Mr. Bulger.
Don't do this.
Mr. Bulger.
Mark Bulger did nothing wrong.
Mark Bulger did nothing
that's wrong. That's very true. I've said that before.
Just because The Greatest Show on Turf didn't reach the same heights doesn't mean it was Mark Bulger's fault.
Points are points.
All right. This one comes from Kyle. This is statistically even more challenging than 11-win Rutgers. Iowa scores less without Brian.
Whoo!
I truly don't know if that can be done.
Is this like a fight back tribute, like the players who wore pro Pat Fitzgerald shirts?
I'm trying to see how many games.
Could this
be
a protest
canceled
movement? Okay.
I mean, it's
how far
talking,
inland can a does Iowa have any hurricaneable opponents?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know who's in their conference now, so I'm really asking.
You could get there, I suspect.
The hurricane, the Illinois State Hurricane. It happens.
Let's see. At UCLA, I mean, sure.
Washington.
Maryland. They play at Maryland.
Washington Volcano.
Mm-hmm. That's a home game for Iowa, but...
Well, I know. It's really big. They're being final... the Washington Huskies football team is okay. being final destinationed by the volcano.
They did cause a rift in desk design.
Like, Iowa scored 15.4 points per game last year.
Which I was, there was, the other day I was looking up like who is the worst NFL offense of the last, however, because like last year the Patriots scored 13.9 right. and it was like, oh my God, that's impossibly bad. So to remember once again that the Iowa Hawkeyes were almost that bad down here in wacky ball college sports where defense is fake, to have a 2023 Patriots grade offense in college football. We're just going to be appreciating this one forever.
That's the max.
Yeah. I mean, like, granted, 15.4 was down from 17.7 in 2022. So, like, Iowa has shown us that there are levels of subfloor that you can continue to fall through, theoretically. But at some point, there you do reach a point where it feels impossible to not score more points than that. And also, like, Iowa was so hurt for a lot of the schedule. Like, yes, the offense was bad, but also, I think God just didn't want to see Iowa score points.
Also, they had the crutch of Torrey Taylor. Like, why bother scoring?
Yes,
he's just gonna pin him on the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he got to go to work a lot.
He could have kept office hours down there.
Yeah. I mean. I will say this. What vindication it would be for Brian if Iowa only scored 12 points a game this year. Brian Ferentz, who I believe is the offensive line coach at Maryland this year. So, like, if he gets to just be like, oh, guess somebody's not the dumbest son in the world after all. That would be nice for him, I think.
So there was this little boomlet of, oh, Iowa's going to be better, which categorically, yes, had to happen. And then reports out of spring practice are like, heck, Cade McNamara can't hit the broadside of a barn, man. It might still be really bad.
It's gotta
be bad. Why do you want him to
also,
hit barns?
Also, most people think he's like a lot of people who are Iowa adjacent, they don't think Kate's going to have that job for long.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
It's very hard to say, if it will be bad, because Iowa proves that the result doesn't necessarily have to matter based on the one part of the team.
Yeah, the team will be good.
Yeah.
But...
boy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, the number, the numbers, if you look at what I believe is Brendan Sullivan, who's the quarterback who's really pushing him for that, his numbers are like, he was 10 for 22 in the scrimmage. It's ass by design.
I am curious, because one thing I think at least find interesting about the Iowa versus offense saga. Iowa fans are kind of defensive about it. Like, they are not as worked up about it as everybody who's outside of the Iowa circle. But that cannot last forever. And if it somehow got worse after Brian Ferentz was let go, I do wonder, like, if there would, you would see some sort of crack at some point where it would just be like, this is, even I, a person who loves wallpaper paste, cannot eat any more of this wallpaper paste.
So delicious, though.
Yeah, and full of fibers.
It's so sticky.
So what I'm hearing, 9 wins for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, 9.
Oh, yeah, entirely possible.
9 wins entirely and 9 possible. Points per game.
One day I'm going to get out of the mortuary business, but goddamn if it doesn't pay. I can't look at another body. But then, every other Friday, brother.
They keep making them. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you know, I get up off the slab, so to speak. Just keep walking.
All right. Spencer, deliver a bold prediction. It could be your own.
Oh, I know. I like this one a lot. Okay. I like the, let's steer into this.
Okay.
It's from OHAS. Game day post-election, get someone fired.
Yeah. I did not pair this in the chat with a couple, but there is a prediction from Matt six rows down that says, Spencer, can you read the second prediction from Matt a few rows down from that one? It might go together.
Kirk Herbstreit discusses taxation laws.
There we go.
I'm seeing a correlation here.
So I'm
why is Kirk
to...
Herbstreit coming to us live from the Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, every show?
So I'm gonna. We're gonna play a different version of the schedule game here. We're gonna look at Saturday.
Does Pat McAfee get fired?
Saturday, November 9th.
Does Saban fire him himself on?
When
camera?
Does Saban punch Pat McAfee?
Tired of you, PJ Funny Bunny.
Here are what I think are your location options for college game day. On the Saturday after Election Day, a day when probably nothing will be settled. To be clear. Number one with a bullet. Maybe not a term I should use right now. Apologies. Georgia at Ole Miss.
My God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to the earlier game that I termed the Why Can't I Say It Bowl.
The number two option, in my opinion. Number five, Alabama at number 13, LSU.
That's a number two option in a number of ways.
Oklahoma at Mizzou. Like,
oh, no. That's the sleeper hit. That is the sleeper hit.
What I'm trying to do is find a game that I can say, okay, where is like somewhere neutral-ish that game day could go where like you're probably not going to have to be like, God, we really got to filter. Florida at Texas. That's not a good option either.
No, that's a very bad option.
All right, here it is.
Oklahoma, Mizzou is the snake in the grass option, which is why I think that's where they might go.
Here is the one option that might work, except it's an NBC game, of course. Florida State at Notre Dame. Maybe? Maybe? That's, I understand.
I've seen all sorts of
there's possibilities
signs
there.
Okay. I think the answer is for the career safety of everyone involved, game day should operate from the studio on Saturday, November 9th, 2024.
That's the week per year when they do some cutesy little FCS game, but then it's like,
sure. Oh God, everyone here is insane as well. Yeah. I don't.
Wait, let's do a cutesy school today, y'all. Let's go to Liberty.
Might be a fun day there. I don't. We'll see.
Zesty.
I got a fun one.
Okay.
I got an actually fun one.
Okay.
From user Alex. Multiple Northwestern punts in lake.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. I like it.
What? Do you think
I just think it'll look fun. Maybe they'll get a swimming dog.
Watching them bounce around on the ice.
Yeah. It would be nice to have... Oh, yeah. I didn't consider the possibility of on lake later in the season.
Do you think either Northwestern or a visiting opponent will jump in the lake after like a huge win?
No, because you can catch a really nasty infection by jumping into Lake Michigan.
Okay.
Do you think that's going to stop college students from doing that?
Yeah, right.
No, because there are no huge wins that happen there.
Mm.
Looking at the schedule, I am inclined to agree.
They're going
to
celebrate by running full tilt face first into the wall at Wrigley.
That'll happen in the Illinois Northwestern game.
Yeah. All of the nagging locals being like, you're going to get the water dirty. Yeah.
Let's see. Your home game options are Miami of Ohio. I don't think they're going to do it. Duke. Eastern Illinois. Will Eastern Illinois jump in the lake if they beat Northwestern on September 14th? I say maybe.
Let's do it.
They deserve it.
Right?
Home of Richard Roper. I give that idea two thumbs.
There's one more I like.
We didn't do either of the pink ones.
There was one. Somebody sent in one that was like 16-way Big 12 tie, and it was like I think that. So we all mourned and lamented the loss of the ACC Coastal. The Big 12 is now the ACC Coastal.
Yeah.
Just every team in there. Every team in the Big 12 could beat any other team in the Big 12. So like, if you're telling me there's a conference where everyone is going to end up in one big log jam, yes.
I feel like the Big 12 is where the like dodgy unlicensed college football went. We're going to get some very official-ish kind of football out of the Big 10 and the SEC, but the Big 12 is where, like, when you can't purchase your favorite illicit kind of vape anymore, right? They're like, yeah, that had pesticide and methamphetamine in it, it turns out, but they still sell it in the Big 12. Yeah. That's where we can go get that. That's where we can go get a 12-way tie. That's where we can go get the third-string quarterback who throws for 4,000 yards in, like, 9 weeks. Yeah.
The Big 12 is the new Pac-12 in that sense, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Do you think huge multi-team tie in the Big 12 is a bold prediction, though? Or is it just the destiny that we have been marching towards?
I think that huge is a bold prediction, and also I am looking forward to it.
Like, I remember last year, there was a point where we were like, okay, we have to look deep into the Big 12 tiebreaker procedures, because like Iowa State was still in the race, and I think West Virginia was still, like, there were too many teams to go towards, and like I'm excited to see how this could like really stress the Big 12's tiebreaker scenarios. Because it's not going to make any sense.
No, the ones that end with somebody drawing straws in a boardroom somewhere.
Yeah, well, because like normally the way you avoid this is you're like, and the Big 12 has had the easiest time of doing this, is they're like, you know, famously for years it was, this is the only conference where everybody plays everybody. Brother, that is not true anymore. we have left those days in the fucking dust. And that creates so many interesting tiebreaker problems for you when you're like, okay, well, what happened between these two teams? They haven't played in 3 years. Interesting. That seems like a problem.
how many years will it be until like UCF Oklahoma State happens? I don't. They might be playing this year. I don't know.
Right.
There needs to be a name for that, because it's almost like one of those weird out of phase moons that happens, right? Like, oh, that's the Lobsterman's moon. Like,
this is the super moon game.
That's when UCF finally ends up playing Oklahoma or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Can you? I need this to happen. This is one of those ones where I need it to happen just based on the joint pregame press conference. What do Gus and Mike Gundy talk about?
Football.
Does it feel like there's almost a language barrier there?
Yeah.
Hats? Can't. Maybe visors?
Okay, hats. That's safe. Yeah.
Do you play golf?
Like,
nope.
Eggs?
Like
eggs? How they eat eggs?
You know what? I think they both talk about how they don't want the Auburn job, probably.
Mm. Yeah, in theory or from experience, a rich conversation between Gus Malzahn and Mike Gundy. A conversation in the round. It's all like, nope, you don't want it. Yeah, hypothetically, I don't want it either.
I bet there's a good chain restaurant discussion. I bet they're like, you ever had the Alfredo at Olive Garden? It's pretty good.
Gas stations.
Carrabba's is the way to go, man.
And then they punch each other.
That's for like.
And then they end up tussling. Carrabba's is
well,
for Sundays.
Well, if I had oil money, I guess I'd be eating at Carrabba's too, Mike.
It's good, like, Gus. I don't hold with
if
the
Gus
Marsala,
told
me, it
makes
me he
took his wife to Carrabba's, I'd be like, what a sweet man. If Gundy did it, I'm like, you fucking cheapskate. Look in your fucking wallet, asshole.
You should build your wife a Carrabba's in your fucking backyard, you cheap fuck.
I like that you're basically creating some sort of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde scenario with these.
Yeah, I think so.
They kind of are.
That Gus Malzahn and Mike Gundy are the same guy, just under different faces.
No, like
Gundy is Gus's Wario, basically.
I think he's more of a Waluigi.
Shape-wise, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Point stands.
I think both Gundy and Malzahn both have $24 million worth of someone else's money. Gus's is in, as we've discussed before, the savings account with a like 0.8 APR interest, right? Like,
right,
like,
right.
Like
that's, all of his clothes that are not Nike are Kirkland.
I bought Marshall's gift cards with my signing bonus.
Like, Orlando's the best town because he's like, you know, there's a Ross around the corner.
There's a Ross. You ever seen a Ross outlet? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Whereas Gundy definitely has $24 million.
On the discount?
Yeah. Gundy also has $24 million.
All Gundy's money is in like snakeskin crypto.
It's somehow crypto that he's managed to get in physical form just so he can bury it.
This is crypto made out of bullet shards.
Yeah,
you've never seen anything
it's
like
for the,
it.
It's for the troops.
He is the only man who's ever buried crypto. Like, it's under a concrete slab in his new house. He has to bust it out like John Wick.